Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Thursday. Hope you're doing well wherever you are, whatever you're doing, obsessing over the Green Bay Packers, wherever you are. I know that's what's happening because you're Packers fans worldwide, and we're devoted to you here at Cheesehead TV. Obviously, the Packers back at it on the practice field, though there was no look-in from the media today, but they are busy. OTA practices continue. Phase three of the offseason program marches on. Things get serious. Guys in shorts, running routes. Very exciting time of year. Obviously, we're still a few weeks away from the mandatory minicamp. The next media day for OTAs is next Wednesday. So there won't be a ton of content, information, headlines, what have you, coming out of OTAs in the meantime. However, there was enough yesterday to get us through, and I did want to touch on some of it. Obviously, I think all eyes are always on the young guys, and one note that really stuck out to me while perusing the coverage of OTAs, always really kind of torn about even talking about some of this stuff because, you know, training camp, I'm there on the ground each and every day, and I know so much happens at each and every practice that it's hard to put much stock in just snippets, right? If you're not there and you don't see it yourself, you're really trusting the guys and gals on the beat to give you an overview. And even then, you know, not everyone can be everywhere and things get missed and not talked about. And then suddenly some guy makes a play in camp practice a couple of weeks later. And everyone's like, where this guy been? And he's been doing this whole time, probably down with the twos and threes, but no one was really paying attention. And then all of a sudden it's a story. Long-winded way of saying, always take some of these kind of observations from my end with a grain of salt, simply because I'm not there. I'm not at Radnitsky Field. But the folks who were made a lot of great observations. And one of the notes that I, you know, had my spidey sense tingling about was Wes Hodkowitz pointing out how many different young guys, rookies, were involved with the ones right out of the gate. Not a common occurrence in Green Bay. Certainly something that, as Wes noted, even going back to the McCarthy days, not a regular MO for the Green Bay Packers, but both, you know, Brandon Cisse and Deni Dennis Sutton mixing in with the ones yesterday, McAllister as well. That's interesting. And that's one of the things I was talking about in my do's and don'ts videos about OTAs. It's not something you want to overreact to. You don't want to pump it up too much, but it's certainly notable. And I don't think anybody's under any illusions, especially when it comes to Cisse. They need this kid to hit the ground running, right? So I think they will force feed him a little bit. Not a first round pick, but their first selection is a guy they're going to want on the field as soon as possible. And even though in the past the Packers have taken their sweet time when allowing rookies to work themselves into the rotation, let alone a starting role, you have to think with Cisse that runway will be a little shorter, I would suspect. I know some people made the joke. I saw you all out there talking about how, you know, they rolled out Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine at the starting corner spots. We all knew that was going to happen. We all understand why that is. So let's just relax, take a breath, let the offseason continue to churn along here, and we will see how that transpires throughout the summer and into training camp. When you look at some other positions there that, you know, clearly there's lots of drill work going on, but most of the stuff that you pay attention to is the team and kind of 11 on 11 stuff, even though, you know, there's no real blocking or tackling going on. Certainly no tackling. It was interesting to see Kennard get the start at right tackle. I don't think it's a shock or a surprise, but certainly when you're looking for clues about who might be the swing tackle, first man off the bench, that he's, you would think, the incumbent and the guy who would get the first call. I would be interested to see if he would be the one first off the bench at left tackle as well. I know he's played right tackle. He played tight end and right tackle for the Packers last year, had a start at right tackle for the Eagles, clearly has experience there on the right side. I do wonder if they would feel comfortable swinging him over on the left side. And I know he's dabbled a little bit there in practices, but would they be, you know, comfortable having to run him out there if something were to happen to Morgan, et cetera? One of the things that we'll, again, certainly be tracking over the summer. Good to see everybody. Look at everybody chiming in. We got lots of folks chatting it up. Good to see you all. Really appreciate each and every one of you who were here yesterday and are here every day for Packers Daily. Really appreciated the kind words after yesterday's live stream. Had a lot of people reach out. I really appreciate it. Had a lot of folks talking about Golden House. Thank you so much for your contributions, your engagement here, your direct contributions to Golden House. It's really greatly appreciated. Before we get going to your questions and comments, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. Ticket King has been based in Wisconsin since 1992. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use the company based right across from Lambeau Field. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the description of this video or on CheeseheadTV.com. And of course, I also have to give a shout out to ThetaCare, our good friends over there. Don't let pain sideline your golf game this season. Stop in to ThetaCare Orthopedic Walk-In Care in Appleton. Open 7 days a week. They'll help you get back in the game quickly. Learn more at thetacare.org. Okay, folks, what's going on? How we doing? How we living? We got Brody starting us off. How are you, sir? Don't want to make light, but is Derrick Henry possible? I don't think you're making light, and I would be shocked. Let's put it that way. I mean, never say never. Nothing is impossible, but that's pretty impossible. I'm not going to say impossible. It's unlikely. Let's say that. Mike Witt, how are you, sir? Hey, Nags. Saw your daily yesterday and just wanted to come by and say you and I don't agree much about the Packers, but you are a good man, Nags. Have a great day. Random Packer, Harry Sidney. Go Pack, go. Appreciate it, Mike. Appreciate the support. Thank you very much for the kind words. Mike again. And been wanting to ask, Nags, how are things in New York City with the Knicks being good again? Bet it's crazy there. It is. It is funny because I spent like a good decade plus, you know, rooting for the Knicks to be good again because the city was always a much better, more alive spot when they were good. And I'd kind of given up on the idea. Never thought I'd see it again, but here we are. Knicks in the finals. That's insane. Last time that happened was the year before I moved to the city, 26, 25 years ago or so. I will say it is fun to watch the energy, the excitement, but it is also hilarious to see it through my daughter's eyes. My youngest, Olive, she texted me the other morning after they had won that last game against Cleveland. She said, "The Knicks won again. Stay inside." You know, she has friends at school who are rabid, diehard Knicks fans. They're a little crazy. They're a little nuts. And I love it. Like I say, I have really, really been kind of hoping that this would occur for New York. Now, obviously, you guys know I'm not a big NBA guy. I don't really watch the NBA. I'm not supremely invested, but I love it for New York, and I love the energy in the city around it. That is awesome. Rob, what's going on, man? Nags, the news cycle hasn't been the greatest, but we are at OTAs. Let's go. No question about it, man. That offseason keeps kind of dragging, and the Josh Jacobs news is obviously supremely disturbing and unfortunate. And really, I saw a lot of people saying, like, how it has tainted the, the vibe around the offseason. There's a long way to go, and there's no diminishing the importance or the gravity of that situation. But, you know, there is a whole stretch of the summer stretching out before us where twists and turns will undoubtedly happen. And not just with the Jacobs situation, but lots of other things can occur, both on and off the field. So here's hoping this is a momentary downturn and we get back to training camp and things are ramping up again on a march to another Lombardi trophy. That's the idea. And OTAs, you know, it's where you lay your bricks for the foundation of your program for this season. And that's what LaFleur and company are up to. Speaking of LaFleur, I did find now finally going back and watching some of the clips and the coverage of his presser, which wasn't streamed live, but I loved his discussion almost about what they were doing this kind of stretch into the start of the offseason program. Basically breaking down the offense and reconstructing things and looking at maybe tendencies and plays and go-tos on the offensive side of the ball where they had, or maybe he had, a conception of it or a perception of it that wasn't based in reality, looking at the data, right? Looking at analytics that would tell you, oh, we love this play on third and whatever, but it has not been nearly as successful as maybe our perception was. So I love that he's taking a fine tooth comb to things. Hopefully we see a little bit more, you know, forward thinking, imagination, et cetera, there on the offensive side of the ball, some new concepts, some new ideas. I was heartened with his answer in that regard. Jerry, random Packer, Joe Thomas. All right. I think that's a little much, but I'll allow it. Patrick Dempsey, thanks for the super chat, man. Not Packers related. Sorry. Where is the best place to get a steak in Appleton? Will there be night before the Notre Dame Wisconsin game? That's an excellent question, man. I got to be honest. I have not lived in that area for a very long time. And when I go home, I'm not often going out for steak. But I will say there is, and I'm sure someone in the chat can mention this and know what I'm talking about. There is a spot on the south side of Appleton that my parents took me to a couple years ago. I want to say 4 or 5 years ago. There's a piano bar attached to the restaurant, and their steak was pretty good. I will say that. There's a couple other spots that I know my parents love that, again, I'm just not that up on it. I would hate to steer you wrong, so to speak. They did take me to a place that had a fucking phenomenal ribeye years ago that I can't remember off the top, the name of the top of my head. So, Patrick, I'm sure some folks in the comments will be able to help you with that. But again, I don't want to steer you wrong at a subject that, again, there's a place down the road from me called Christos here in Astoria. They have their own slaughterhouse, and they have the greatest steak I've ever had in my life. So when I go home, I'm not really looking for steak. I haven't gone out for steak in Appleton or Green Bay in quite a while. Not to say there's not good steak out there. I'm sure there is, but it's just not my ballywick, as it were, when I'm back home. Simatovich, how are you, man? We going to kick the Jonathan Taylor tires again? Go Pack, go. I had that thought, Jonathan. I'm not going to lie. I did wonder if possibly, maybe, Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst get together and say, hey, what if we make this move? Now, I think that probably would have been more likely prior to the start of the offseason, free agency, what have you, given that they did allow, you know, some pieces to walk that maybe they would have been open to trading. But yeah, I don't know, man. There's certainly going to be conversations, I would think, about any possibility, including things that we know they've been in on before. But the issue, I would think, now about the Jonathan Taylor thing, in the original iteration of the reporting around that trade, Christian Watson was a central piece of it, right? I can't fathom they trade Christian Watson at this point. Like, even then, I didn't think it was really something they would do, but now, given the makeup of their offense and where he's been and what he's become and the pieces around him, I think he's a pretty central piece to their offensive attack. I'd be surprised if that was a discussion point that was brought back up, right? But as far as, you know, Taylor, possibly Brian making that call, in on every conversation, including generating your own conversation, I would suspect that that's a phone call that Brian's probably made at this point. I wouldn't be surprised, just to kick tires and see about the possibility, right? Never say never. Jeff Jones, this is interesting. What is Bo Melton's ceiling? At corner, at wide receiver, or at running back? I kid because I love. Ceiling, I mean, I guess, I don't know, man. It's hard to put a data point on it as far as production goes, because I don't think he's ever going to be a serious kind of part of the rotation at wide receiver. I think he's a nice rotational piece, something to get you out of a jam maybe if there are injuries, but I don't ever see him becoming a major component offensively. I know he's going to have his moments. He's got speed to burn. We saw it in the Bears game last year, right? In that game at Lambeau Field where he had the big touchdown before half. He's still going to be able to contribute, but I think you know, what you've seen is who he is. He's a guy who his greatest value is as a gunner on special teams. And it is one of the reasons they made that position switch to try and figure out a way roster construction wise to keep him around because they value him so much in that role. So yeah, man, I don't think there's a whole lot more that we're ever going to see from Bo as far as the next step or, oh, he's going to have a breakout year or anything like that. But that doesn't diminish his worth and his value as a player, right? I mean, like Brian always talks about, it is a jigsaw puzzle that you're putting together. And they've made it pretty clear that they value how he fits in their roster. You know, again, mostly because he is so valuable as a gunner. And look no further than the end of last year when he got hurt. Justice and I talked about this the other day. Like, man, they fell apart coverage-wise because he and essentially their whole coverage unit got banged up. But he was the first one to go down, and it cost him that playoff game big time. You know, it can't be overstated how good he is at that job. He is one of the better gunners in the league. So I think it's pretty valuable for them. And I think that, you know, if you're looking for what's his ceiling, that's what I think the most important aspect of his game in Green Bay is. That's my view anyway. Jerry. Hey, Aaron, do you golf? God, no. I echo Mark Twain, who said, golf is a good walk ruined. That's my view on golf. Joe, how are you, man? Does having a new defensive coordinator level the playing field at all as far as rookies getting more opportunities early? Not really. I understand what you're saying. New system, maybe new opportunities because, hey, you know, everyone's starting in a new system, ground zero, etc. But you got to remember, you're not entering Jonathan Gannon's program. You're entering Matt LaFleur's program. And their way of operating is still going to be whatever Matt designs and wants as far as opportunities and who, you know, should be first up and get the kind of, obviously it's based off your work in practice, the practice tape and things like that, but it's still very much going to be run through Matt and his vision of how he wants the program to operate. Now, could he potentially say, okay, I want a lot more kind of opportunities for these young guys? That's possible, but that will be driven by LaFleur, not by Gannon. It is Matt's program. Jerry. We got some personal questions in here today. Do you foresee yourself moving back to Wisconsin? I must get asked this 100 times a year. Not anytime soon. I've talked about it a lot. My girls are still, you know, kind of grown up. I know my youngest is 18 now, but they're very much New York based, and I want to be where my girls are. And for the time being, that's the game plan, you know. Now, that said, I'm sure you've noticed I have come back to the Green Bay, Wisconsin area more and more as they've gotten older. Last year I was in town quite a bit more than I was the year before. This upcoming season I'll be in town even more. So I think there's a chance at some point I may split time a little bit more, but I don't see a full move back to Wisconsin in my future anytime soon. Rob, what's up? Oh, I forgot. Random Packer, Emery Smith. That's a pull. Holy shit. DC Chi said, thank you for the super sticker. Greatly appreciated. Mike Witt, thanks again. Any chance the Queens release Aaron Jones and he can come back home on a one-year deal? Just an idea. I still have not had to carry the G yet. Hopefully this season it will happen. Well, Mike, if you come to the annual meetup, there will be carry the G on offer. Aha, there's an idea. As far as Aaron Jones, could it shake out that way? It's potentially a road that could end up being traveled down. A, I'll be surprised if they release him. B, if he were to be released, I'd be surprised if the Packers were interested. You know, they wanted to move on for a reason. It is a young man's game, especially at that position. Again, and I got to think maybe on Aaron's side, there's probably no real kind of hope or, you know, rush to rejoin the squad that asked you to take a pay cut 2 years in a row after you saved their bacon essentially that year in the playoffs. I don't know, man. It's I figure it's kind of, or not kind of, I think it's highly unlikely. But as I said earlier, never say never. You the better GMs and personnel people in the league, of which I think Brian is one of them, they keep their options open and their minds open. And so I think, you know, is it possible? Okay, maybe, but unlikely. Let's say that. Johnny, how are you, man? Thank you for the dreadfully kind donations, all. A giant thank you to you, Mr. Negler, for shouting it out. Who needs possessions when you have pals? Oh, brother, I hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for, you know, being part of the Cheesehead TV community. And, yeah, of course, man. People go through tough times, tough moments, tough stretches. Packers fans are going to be there for you, brother. Cheesehead TV fans are going to be there for you. No question about it. Glad to see you're doing well, man. E4, what's up, brother? I'm assuming that the Packers have plan B for just about everything, including if it's raining during the Super Bowl celebration parade. Yeah, no doubt it would probably necessitate them going inside the rest center instead of being at Lambeau Field. But we will cross that bridge when we come to it. Make sure you bring your ponchos. Mark Miles, thank you for the super chat. No bias, your honest opinion. If you had to choose Caleb Williams or Jordan Love for the next 10 years, who are you selecting? Jordan Love. I love this idea that Caleb Williams has arrived as a quarterback just because, like, yes, he had some really amazing moments last year, but you don't have to look at anything other than the advanced metrics to know that Jordan Love's a better quarterback. Like, I get Caleb Williams is exciting and has made some incredible plays, no doubt about it. But he's also missed a lot of wide open dudes, really inconsistent, really inefficient at the position. Now, you're saying the next 10 years, no doubt about it, he is going to most likely continue to get better. I am not taking that away from him, not taking away his talent. I know Bears fans are going to hate hearing this, but Jordan Love's a better quarterback. And he is now, right now, entering the prime of his career. I would 1,000,000,000% take Jordan Love for the next decade. No doubt about it. And again, you said no bias. Now, you're talking to a guy who has Go Pack Go written behind him. So it's kind of impossible to say I don't have bias. But I will say, okay, fine, take away my bias. Again, look at any advanced metric you care to name. Jordan Love is better. You know, that's just numbers. That's just analytics. That one talks to me about, well, the tape can say one thing, or you can manipulate your whatever, your idea of this, that, or the other thing. Fine. Just look at the name. Look at the numbers. Jordan Love is better. Again, Caleb makes some amazing plays. I'm not taking that away from him. That throw he made against the Rams to keep that game alive, you talk about no bias. That is one of the most incredible plays I have seen an NFL quarterback make in my 52 years on this planet. No joke. But that's not exactly sustainable. That's not exactly something that you can build around. It's an amazing lightning in a bottle moment, no question about it. And he has a few of them. Not taking that away either. That fourth down against the Packers. Fucking incredible play. But Jordan Love is a better quarterback overall. And I don't think that's a controversial statement. Mike Witt, thanks again, man. Random Packer, Terrell Buckley. Still remember watching him return the punt versus the Bengals. I was there. Oh, it could have been. Yeah, T-Buck went on to have a good career. No question about it. But it just wasn't meant to be in Green Bay, unfortunately. Doug Hypes here. What's up, Doug? I hear Lloyd healed up with Carry the G Cream Ale. I heard that as well. I didn't want to put it out there publicly, but clearly. I mean, if you get him on, you know, True Serum, I think he'd say, you know, what made you able to be out there at practice the other day and not have a setback for the first time in seemingly forever? I think he would tell you it was Carry the G Cream Ale, the official beer of Cheesehead TV.
Well, we carry the G wherever we may be, so creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
You may have to check my math on that, but I do think that's what he said. I'm not entirely sure. Neil Flynn, how you doing, man? Random Packer, Johnny Blood. See, now, I guess you can do Johnny Blood as a random Packer, but is he random, really? I mean, he's a Packer legend. Hard to be random when you're a legend. You know, that'd be like saying random Packer Brett Favre. Like, there's not too much random about it. Johnny Blood is an all-timer. But I hear you, man. We'll allow it because it's the offseason. There we go. I'll roll with that. All right, everybody, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.